Welcome to Faithful Echoes, the sermon podcast from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. New episodes are available every Monday, featuring the Collect of the Day, scripture readings, and Father Joel Hufstetler's insightful sermon from the previous Sunday. Perfect for catching up on missed sermons or revisiting favorites, find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and our website at www.stlukescleveland.org/podcast. Subscribe now for spiritual reflections that fit seamlessly into your week.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to his chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in his seat beside him. Now the passage of the scripture was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like the lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news of all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 22, verses 24 through 30, found on page 612 of the Book of Common Prayer. We will read responsively by half verse. "My praise is of him in the great assembly.
I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him.
May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. For kingship belongs to the Lord.
He rules over the nations.
To him alone all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship.
All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him.
They shall be known as the Lord's forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn
the saving deeds that he has done."
A reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to sacrifice for our sins. We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the most significant pastors and spiritual writers of the last 50 years is Eugene Peterson. Peterson will be remembered primarily for his dynamic translation of the Bible called The Message. It's a very popular translation. I use it sometimes in my sermon preparation. But Peterson wrote many other very influential books, and they have their own importance. It's important to know about Eugene Peterson and that until the very end of his career, he was a parish minister and did his research and writing in the context of parish ministry. Peterson's church in suburban Baltimore was no larger than St. Luke's is. So Peterson was a pastor who also had this extraordinary teaching ministry. The other day I read an Easter sermon by Eugene Peterson, and in that sermon he talks about wanting to do a series of sermons that he wants to call Love Lessons. And that series of sermons will be about life in Christian community. And so in an Easter sermon, Peterson refers to a series of sermons he wants to do on love in the Christian church, and he says this: for a textbook, I will use the first letter of John, which is the best manual for this kind of thing that has ever been written. So let that wash over you for a moment. Of all the books that have ever been written regarding Christian love and community, Eugene Peterson says there's never been a better manual than the first epistle of John. So that's high praise for this little book that we find in the back of the New Testament. A contemporary scholar named Gary Burge has written about the Johannine epistles. John's unyielding interest in love is one well-known hallmark of his letters. Again and again, he affirms the importance of love and outlines what might prompt such love. So here's another tip of the hat to the epistles of John and their clarity about the essential importance of love in the Christian community. Every teaching methodology that I know of practically refers to repetition. The great athletic coaches teach repetition. Teachers know that students need to do something over and over again. We know, I think, from our own lives, to get better at something, we need to do it, don't we? And do it with regularity and with discipline and with care. So there are three Johannine epistles. 1 John is 5 chapters long. 2 John can be printed on one page. And 3 John can be printed on one page. So of the three Johannine epistles, there are really only 7 chapters among all three books. And in those 7 chapters, John refers to love 51 times. Just think about that. 51 references to love in 7 chapters. Intentional repetition to drive home the point. To follow Christ necessarily means to have love at the center of our being. So today is the 5th Sunday of Easter, and we have for our epistle lesson 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. The entire passage is a gem. There's no section of today's epistle lesson that is unimportant. None of it has lesser meaning than any other part of today's epistle lesson. Just to hear John's emphasis on love one more time, I'd like to read again just a portion of today's epistle lesson. And just listen this time especially for John's continued teaching on love. This is just 6 verses. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. 6 verses, and there are 13 references to love. 6 verses. I think John might agree with us here in St. Luke. Say it with me if you want to. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. The epistles of John. The main thing is to remember the foundational importance of love that mirrors the love of Christ, first given to us. So 1 John 4, 7 through 21 is compelling. It's a beautiful, lastingly instructive passage. But it does build to a particular high point. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. This is one of the great, memorable, haunting verses in all of the New Testament. The first part of it is very memorable. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. In reading verse 18 to its fullest effect, it's important to put it in its literary context. What happens in verse 18 is directly responding to what is said in verse 17, where John says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." So verse 18, as important as it is on its own, is responding directly to verse 17 about the day of judgment. And so what John is saying in a focused way is that when we think about the end of time and the accounting of our lives, which we will one day be asked to give, as followers of Christ, if we'll just accept His love and grace, on the day of judgment, we have nothing to fear. And by extension, then, if we have nothing to fear on the day of judgment, then we have nothing to fear in the here and now. As far as our soul, our salvation, our reconciliation with God. We can be at peace with God in the here and now because we know that in the final accounting, we already have been given grace in baptism and through the ongoing gift and presence of the Holy Spirit. We're lucky if we have a number of mentors in our lives. I have a number of them. Some of them I've never met. I read their books or I watch them in media. Fortunately, some of my mentors I knew, and one of those is a professor named John Booty, an Episcopal priest, longtime professor of church history. John Booty was the leading historian of the Episcopal Church and had been recognized as such by General Convention. In addition to being a church historian, John Booty was a profoundly wise theologian. And I had the privilege my second year of seminary at Sewanee of being John Booty's work study assistant, and it was one of the great experiences of my life, being able to see John and work with him closely every day. John Booty used to talk about matters of ultimacy. That's the phrase he used. Matters of ultimacy. But John would pronounce it ultimacy. Talk about matters of ultimacy. And of course, what John was referring to was what really matters. What are those issues that will matter at the end of our lives? What are those issues that are of supreme importance? When you think about it, matters of ultimacy, of course, include life and death. And I'm thinking about John Booty this week because 1 John 4, 17 through 18 deals with matters of ultimacy. And John tells us where it really counts in life. Rather than our disposition being one of fear or anxiety or uncertainty, as followers of Christ, we can trust that His Spirit is in us and with us. And rather than our disposition being one of fear or uncertainty, we as followers of Christ can be grounded in a position of love and trust and peace. In thinking about 1 John 4, 17 through 18, I was reminded this past week of a great passage from Paul in Romans, verses 38 through 39. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a clear relationship between Paul's belief expressed here in Romans and John's belief based on our epistle lesson today. Because of Christ and His all-encompassing love and grace, in matters of ultimacy, we have nothing to fear. And we can live in the here and now, assured of God's abiding love and grace. And not even death, not even thoughts of the last judgment are meant to cause us any fear or anxiety, because we can trust in the depth of God's love for us, made known most fully in Jesus Christ. So I've built up a pretty good collection of commentaries on the Johannine epistles over the span of my 34-year career. I consulted about 90% of those commentaries this week in preparation for this sermon. And every single scholar at one point said the same thing. Fear and love are incompatible with each other. In the moment, fear and love are incompatible. We're either experiencing a disposition to fear, anxiety, or in a given moment, we're grounded in a position of love and of peace. And so we do have this fundamental choice at all times. Is our basic orientation one of anxiety? Or can we remember that we can trust in the presence, the grace, and the love of Jesus Christ? In my first parish in 1991, on my birthday, there were fewer candles on the cake that day, I was given this wonderful little devotional book called A Common Prayer. It's by Michael Lunig. It's very beloved by a lot of readers. This thing is so small and compact, the pages aren't even numbered. And you can see, perhaps from your seat, they're just very short little prayers. They all fit on one page, and then there's an illustration on the other page. This is a wonderful little book. I've kept it close by since 1991. This author addresses directly this relationship of love and fear, and he says this: there are only two feelings, love and fear. There are only two languages, love and fear. There are only two activities, love and fear. There are only two motives, two procedures, two frameworks, two results, love and fear. Love and fear. I invite you to think about this. You boil down any experience from the relatively mundane to the deeply, profoundly serious. There are really two basic emotions possibly in play, either love or fear. And John tells us so beautifully in today's epistle lesson, when we realize that we've fallen into fear, which we will, into anxiety, which we will, when we slip into uncertainty, which we will, we can just remember to choose love, to remember that Christ is with us. And in the end, come what may, because of Christ, we can choose love instead of fear. So seven total chapters in the Johannine epistles, 51 references to love. The Johannine epistles are relevant to life in the 21st century, but they were written near the end of the first century, nearly 2,000 years ago, into the Greco-Roman world of the time. So it's important to read 1 John in its historical context. Given the usage of love in the Greek of the documents of 1 John, N.T. Wright notes, in the New Testament, love regularly describes not so much how people feel as what they do. In other words, love in the Greek of the New Testament isn't used primarily as a noun. It's used primarily as a verb. Love is what a Christian does. Of course, the concept matters. The idea, of course, matters. But in the end, love is an action word. And so for followers of Jesus Christ, love is a belief. But more than anything else, love is action. Amen. Thank you.